SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome on in. This is Game Time Decisions here on Sports Grid. Adam Kaufman with you, and I've got you for the next 2 hours, but don't worry, you will not have to listen to this horse scratchy, whatever it is, voice going on all that much, because plenty of guests will join along the way. We will look ahead to a monster slate in the National Hockey League, some very important games down the stretch of the regular season here as teams trying to firm up either playoff positioning or obviously those still with wild card dreams, as well as teams just trying to hang on and not give up those spots that they currently occupy. Major League Baseball, that slate, I know, no day baseball today, nice as that would have been, but that just means much more for us to preview and a lot on the way here tonight. And really, taking center stage, most importantly, it is the National Basketball Association. Only two games on the docket today, two tomorrow, because the playoffs right around the corner. Those begin this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, with the beginning of round one action. All those teams, though, are sitting back and waiting for the play-in tournament to sort itself out. Let's take a look at the NBA playoff bracket. You see it right there on your screen, and as far as just sort of filling in some of the holes that we have there that you are seeing. Of course, the top seeds in either conference, the Cavaliers and the Thunder, they will have to wait a little bit longer to see who they are going to face in round one. But the second seeds, Boston in the East and Houston in the West, they will find out who their playoff opponents in round one are going to be tonight, because we have in the play-in game in the East, the Magic playing host to the Atlanta Hawks, and that spread is growing by the moment, it feels like. And over in the late game, coming up later on tonight, it is Steph Curry and the Warriors against the Grizzlies. Now, these are two really, really interesting games. It's no surprise that you're seeing a whole lot of Orlando, Golden State, money line parlays, depending on who you follow in the betting space. It's been a popular play. There are a lot of people that are laying the points with Orlando. It has explained why we are seeing some of the growth in that spread. Opened at 5 points. Now it is as high as 6.5 for the home team, depending on where you do your shopping. I think that the intriguing thing in this particular game, I won't call it a series, it's just one and done, so to speak. Obviously, the winner moves on to face the Celtics. The loser gets a second opportunity in that other play-in game coming up just a couple of days to find out if they will face the one seed Cavaliers. We'll be able to get to those games a little bit later on as well. But as far as who has the edge here in this one, I join the masses. I'll celebrate the chorus that goes along with Orlando. I think the Magic are the stronger team. They are the healthier team. All of their key guys are available. You consider, obviously, Atlanta on the other side. We know, and this has been the case for a while, there is no Clint Capella. There is no Jalen Johnson. Really, we weren't even certain. We believed it. I mean, it was probable after all, but we weren't even certain that Trae Young was going to play until a little bit earlier today. Again, the belief was always that he was going to, but we didn't know it until we knew it, so to speak. So now you will have Young and the Hawks, who have a really proficient offense and a lackluster 20s ranking defense on the other side against a Magic team that the offense is really getting better and better. It's not a dynamic offense by any stretch, led by Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, but it is an offense that is more than capable of exploiting a poor defense on the other side. Orlando's benefit here, and it's why so many people are looking toward the under on the total in this game, is because it's a great defense there that the Magic have. And I just think that the two guys that I mentioned already, Banchero and Wagner, are getting hot at the right time. There is no lack of, sample size, recency bias, what have you, in this series. We have seen two meetings down the stretch just in the, this month alone. We're sitting here, it's tax day. Hope you got your paperwork in. It's April 15th. We have seen these two teams match up twice already here to close out the regular season. Then the other two matchups were back in February. Now, I will admit, The most recent one to close out the regular season meant nothing. You saw virtually no one because everything was determined, locked up, seeding was already determined completely. And so a lot of the key guys, whether it was Young, Banchero, Wagner, you know, many of the key contributors on either side, they did not play. They got their rest going into this one, even a Kongwu. But, you know, what this one has in store in front of us, and again, I would lay it with Orlando. I just think that I don't know if Orlando necessarily wins this thing by double figures, but I think they win it convincingly enough because Banchero over the last couple of months has been an absolute beast in all facets, whether it's rebounding, assists, piling up that RA, that combo, and of course the scoring. He's taking 20 plus shots per game. The offense is running through him, and Banchero's not doing it alone. It's truly been, you want to call it 1A, 1B, or just a 1-2 punch, however you want to outline it ultimately. Wagner is consistent. Sometimes gets off to slow starts offensively, but by the end, even if he's sitting at, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 points come halftime, he still seems to finish between 20 and 25. So again, popular parlays that I've seen, I already mentioned Orlando and Golden State paired together on the money line. I have seen Orlando money line with Wagner 20 plus points, Banchero 20 plus points, or Banchero even at 25 plus points. Lean into the scores. I think Trae Young on the other side is going to have to do a lot to keep his team in this one, and that is scoring, which certainly he did the last time these two teams matched up when he did play, which again was a couple of weeks ago, or facilitating. You know, Trae Young should have a double-double in this game. He should be piling up the assists, but I do like the Magic to win this game. The other game that we have coming up, I guess about 4 hours from now, again, it's that Warriors and Grizzlies game. This one is much, much harder to handicap. It surprises me how many people just emphatically believe and are willing to lay the points with the Warriors to win this game. Do I think ultimately Golden State wins this game? I do, but by the same token, that Orlando-Golden State moneyline parlay, that's not one that personally I endorse. It's not one that I want to play because while I believe in the Magic in laying the points, I think the Grizzlies are very live for an upset. And if I'm playing that game on either side at all, it's not Golden State with the points, it's Memphis, which at one point in time was catching 6.5 points. And clearly, I'm not the only one who feels this way because we have seen this move to as short as 6.5. There are still some sevens out there, so you lost the hook. Even still, I would play the +7 on that Memphis side. Remember, Steph is, you know, there's some inconsistency there for one. He had 52 points the last time he matched up with the Grizzlies earlier this year. Absolutely went off. But the game before that had 2 points, I think it was. Limited action. They lost by like 30, 40 points. Blew doors. He didn't even play 30 minutes. Was a complete non-factor. And generally, Steph, in these recent matchups, you go back over the last few years when he has seen the Grizzlies, he's usually below 20 points, let alone 25 and wherever you can find his prop as it sits right now. So Steph is clearly going to have to will his team to a victory in this one, but I think the Grizzlies just have too many weapons, whether it, again, Ja Morant, who probably goes off, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., obviously Desmond Bane, who has been awesome. Edie has been terrific on the boards. That PR, points, rebounds combo, something worth considering. I think the Grizzlies are incredibly, incredibly live for an upset. And to that point, actually, I'd probably consider sprinkling their money line just to let you know where the best number sits right now. You can still get some 265s out there on FanDuel on the Memphis money line. So Coach James Young is going to join us coming up a little bit later on. We will break down these two games tonight, the play-in action tomorrow, round one, any dogs you should be thinking about. All of that is on the table here in these couple hours to come. Baseball, a lot of that in the next hour. Dave Sharapan, the sportsbook consigliere, will bounce around, hit on a bit of everything. But when we come back, hockey talk. Joe Madden joins us next here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back on Game Time Decisions, and you heard me go on and on about NBA in the opening segment of the show. Coach James Young will join us coming up in a little bit. We'll get lots of thoughts from him on the hardwood tonight, tomorrow, and of course the playoffs to come. But I'll tell you what, on the ice, the playoffs are right around the corner as well. NHL teams down to their last two, maybe even one game remaining, obviously jockeying for playoff seeding. And there are some teams that are still fighting for their playoff lives, including teams in action tonight. So we got some really good ones to look forward to here. And to help us break these down, Joe Madden, of course, a regular, a host, analyst, contributor on Sports Grid. I certainly, you know, if you are watching or listening out there, I don't need to introduce Joe to you. You are well aware, but check her out on social media if you haven't already, on Twitter at Joe Madden Sports. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's kind of like hairy coming down these last couple of days in the NHL, not knowing what a lot of these teams are playing for. They really don't have any motivation except for to stay healthy going into the playoffs. But you do have players that are looking to hit some milestones. There's plenty of teams, like you said, still looking for their positioning in the playoffs. So we've got a lot to break down tonight, Adam. I'm excited for tonight's slate.
Yeah, let's start in the Eastern Conference where, you know, as we know, Maple Leafs, Lightning, Panthers, Capitals, Hurricanes, Devils, Senators have all at the very least clinched playoff spots. Maybe their specific seeding is a little bit up in the air, but Montreal right now with one game to play at 85 points trying to hang on. The Canadiens really needed a win last night and they were a heavy, heavy favorite, almost minus 300, wound up losing in a shootout, and that has left the door open for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who still have two games to play and obviously would need wins in both of these because they are 4 points back of the Habs. Even just a Montreal win would put Columbus away and render anything the Jackets do the rest of the way useless. But for now, the Blue Jackets live. And Columbus is in action at Philadelphia tonight. This game begins 7:30 Eastern. What's the outlook?
Yeah, Montreal just needs that one win tomorrow or 1 point tomorrow versus the Carolina Hurricanes, which will be pretty solid with the Canes not looking to play a lot of people tomorrow. But looking at Columbus, they know that anything can happen out there on the ice tomorrow. So they're going to look to come out nice and strong. Now, they're taking on a Flyers team, Adam, that isn't going to allow them to get this win easy tonight. They have to get a win here in regulation and then hope to win in their last game at home versus the Islanders to keep those playoff hopes alive. Jack Greaves expected in goal tonight, which is a good thing for Columbus because Elvis has really struggled versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Urgent in goal for the Flyers tonight. And I do think with how he has played versus the Columbus Blue Jackets, even though Columbus hasn't really had that oomph on the road offensively over the whole season, you will have to look for them to score 4 goals in this one. I'm looking at the Columbus Blue Jackets team total over 3.5 goals, apologies. That's coming in at plus 108. And I would look at Adam Fantilli here to come out and be able to light that lamp, if not once, twice in this. You look at him in the last two games, he's been able to get 2 goals in those last two. And while the Flyers won't go down easy, Columbus has so much to play for. I think they get it done tonight by scoring 4 goals. If they score 4, they win this 4-3.
Jackets have won 4 in a row coming into this one. Would you like to pair any of that up with the money line, or do you feel better just chasing the total, the team total, as you mentioned, and the prop?
Yeah, looking at the money line right now, Adam, I'm just not finding value in that money line. So it was minus 137 earlier. It's now bumped up all the way to minus 146. So looking at a money line bet, I can get more money on that team total to the over. And we know the Flyers are really going to push the Columbus Blue Jackets in this one. They've got those playmakers that can score those goals. Travis Konecki will be coming out strong. Owen Tippett. So those goals will come on Jack Greaves here. So I like the plus money that we're getting on that team total rather than laying the juice on a money line that, you know, it is going to be a hard game. We could see that 4 or 5 win if it goes to overtime for the Flyers, because if it goes to overtime, everything is over for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Now, over in the Western Conference, Joe, things are a little more interesting. As far as the teams that have clinched, you've got the Jets, the Stars, the Avalanche, Golden Knights, Kings, and Oilers. But right now, the wild card is open, and there is one team that is still breathing, and it is, you know, a team that you enjoy rooting for, the Calgary Flames. So we have the Wild, the Blues, and the Flames. Two of those teams are getting into the playoffs. One obviously is not, and all three of them are in action tonight. You have Utah at the Blues, Ducks at the Wild, and the Flames will play host to the Golden Knights. So why don't we start with the one that needs it the most, and of course that is Calgary coming into this one off a win, 5-3-2 in its last 10 games. And the the juice in this one, as far as the Flames on the money line, it's not severe. You know, you're looking at right around minus 115. What seems interesting is more people are really, at least in terms of looking at public splits, leaning into the over 5.5 goals in this one. How do you see this one playing out?
It has to be an over if you think Calgary is going to be able to get the win, Adam. So I completely understand why public money is coming in on that over 5.5, because Calgary, the depth here of Vegas, they will have to be able to find a way to score, which is something they've struggled to do all season on the Vegas Golden Knights. Now, this is going to be an interesting puck drop, because those other games, they're already going to be an hour into their game. So Calgary's really going to know how those games are sitting. They will be talking about this in the locker room, and they need to come out and get the win in regulation. If you're going to bet the Calgary Flames tonight, don't look at the money line and lay any juice. Look at the regulation bet. The regulation bet's plus 145. If Calgary goes to overtime, their playoff hopes are completely done. So look for Calgary to look to finish this one. And that over 5.5 comes into play there, because if this is a 2-2 game, 3-3 game, and Calgary is looking at those final couple of minutes, they can't chance that overtime opportunity. So they will pull their goaltender, even if this one is tied up, with the hopes of scoring that goal with the extra man advantage, because overtime gets them nowhere. Look at Nazem Kadri for the anytime goal at plus 180. Jonathan Huberdeau to step up. But Vegas, Mark Stone loading for goal number 20. That's coming in at plus 300. We know Jack Eichel's out of the lineup, but Noah Hanifin for point number 40 is coming in at plus 130. He played with Calgary for the majority of all season before it being traded. So definitely playmakers for Vegas to look at too.
Wild coming in 95 points, the Blues 94. Each of these teams just the one game remaining in the regular season, those both tonight, obviously. Meanwhile, Calgary does have two games left, including the one we just talked about. We'll take a look at the other wild card hopefuls and what to expect from them tonight. One more narrowly favored than the other. There is one that is certainly very heavily favored. We'll get Joe's input, the look at props, etc. when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have Joe Maddon with us, looking ahead to tonight in the NHL and talking about the games that do matter, and we'll maybe acknowledge the ones that don't quite as much in a moment as well. But first, the priority games, and Joe just talking about this wild card hunt in the Western Conference. So the Minnesota Wild are in action. Again, a one-point cushion right now on St. Louis. I would say Minnesota should be safe for a wild card berth, whether it's the first or the second, because again, that would be a lot of work Calgary would have to put in to knock Minnesota out ultimately. But the Wild are home against the Ducks tonight. Taking a look at where it sits right now, you've got the Wild, you know, heavily juiced. I mean, right around like minus 270-ish on the money line. You were just talking about the Flames, and, you know, for different reasons, you know, it wasn't the juice, it was the motivation, obviously, to avoid extra time, but playing the 60-minute line, you know, something I, by the way, did with Montreal last night. They lost anyway, but, you know, as soon as it went to overtime, let alone the shootout, I knew I was toast. That was a bummer, but it was such a heavily juiced line, it felt like the only consideration to do it. Do you do that here with Minnesota, where, you know, you can get something that's still pretty juiced, but not that minus 270 at home?
Oh, Adam, I struggle with the Minnesota Wild. You look at this team sitting in that first wild card spot. They are 3 points in front of Calgary, 1 point in front of the St. Louis Blues. But you look at this team, and I know Kaprizov is back in the lineup. I don't have faith in them tonight versus the Anaheim Ducks. The Anaheim Ducks are in the perfect position to play spoiler. If they can win in regulation, hand the Wild a loss, and Calgary wins their last two, and the Blues get a win tonight, it will be the St. Louis Blues and the Calgary Flames in the playoffs. And that's the drama that I'm hoping for out there on the ice. While I don't know if that storyline plays out, I do think the Anaheim Ducks can keep it tight. I think this is a one-goal game, so I'm going to grab the Anaheim Ducks +1.5 and -114 on that puck line, and look for this game to be that tight-fought battle, as the Ducks do have the Jets on deck tomorrow. Last game here for the Wild, but I think the Wild might overlook them a little bit. They've won the last four meetings, including back in December, a 5-1. I think they take their feet off the pedal a little bit, and the Ducks make them pay for it. You've got players that are looking to stack up their stats here with Troy Terry and a couple other players here for the Ducks. And I do think the Wild, it just might be one of those spots where the Ducks come a quacking at them.
Blues have been struggling a little bit lately, the three straight losses, but generally have been outstanding since the coaching change under Jim Montgomery, who last led the Bruins, obviously, earlier this year. And they've got this very important game, as we outlined tonight, also at home against the Utah Hockey Club. How's this one go?
This one is going to be a great one for Blues fans. I do think they get a win and a big win here. I would look for them to cover the puck line, but you can look at the Blues in regulation. That's coming in at plus 105. A regulation win here for the St. Louis Blues will guarantee them that wild card spot. They don't have to worry about anything else, and this team has been so solid on their home ice, winning their last 11. Now Jordan Binnington will be in net for them tonight, and we know this is a goaltender that really can come to perform when he's absolutely needed. And I like that the Blues are rolling in here off of those losses, not looking as solid as we would have expected over their last three, losing in a shootout to the Seattle Kraken in their last one. And Utah's no joke. We have playmakers here for Utah, but I do think this is a game which Binnington locks down, the defense locks down. I'm going to take the St. Louis Blues to win this in reg at plus 105. I'll look at Jordan Kyrou not only for goal number 35, but goal number 36 for a sprinkle. For one goals coming in at plus 175, two plus goals at plus 1100, and look at the two plus points for Kyrou. On the other side, though, Clayton Keller loading for goal number 30. And as we finalize the NHL regular season, please look for these players that do have those milestones to reach, because they normally equal bonuses. Clayton Keller for goal number 30, point number 90 tonight will get you great plus money at him.
Joe, I'm looking at some splits for this one, and the total 5.5, 98% of the money and north of 80% of the bets on the over in this game. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely not. I think the St. Louis Blues win this in a 3-1 style game, Adam. They're going to come out, they're going to lock down on that defensive side. If this one goes over that total, the St. Louis Blues are going to push it to overtime with Utah. They have to win this in reg. There's too much on the line here for them.
Final few seconds here. Is there another bet outside of these important games that you really like tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many great games on the board. The LA Kings taking on the Seattle Kraken tonight. You've got a couple of players to look at those player points. Brandon Montour of the Seattle Kraken for point number 40 tonight is coming in at plus 148. You've got Kempe there of the LA Kings for goal number 35 as well, plus 180.
Joe Madden, host and analyst here on Sports Grid on Twitter at Joe Madden Sports. Joe, thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. This is Game Time Decisions. Our thanks to Joe Madden for hopping on and talking all things hockey. Good puck talk here leading into a busy slate tonight with some pretty important games. It's a light slate in the association, but believe you me, we do have a couple of very important games. The play-in tournament getting started, and here to help us for the next few segments, close out this half hour, is none other than J.Y. Coach James Young, who of course is on Twitter at Coach Young NJ. He is the lead basketball analyst here at Sports Grid and of course hosts the Betting Above the Rim podcast, which recently featured Michelle Beadle. You should check it out. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. It's playoff time, and we'll see what teams deliver, what teams not. Can Miami figure it out tomorrow night? But two really good matchups tonight. Should be intriguing games. Contrast of styles in both matchups.
Yeah, let's get into this. And the first one, which begins in about an hour, is Orlando playing host to Atlanta. These teams matched up four times in the regular season, even though the regular season finale didn't feature any of the important players on either side. It was a split, ultimately, and contrasting styles. You know, one team with a really solid, high-paced offense and a lackluster defense in Atlanta, and Orlando with a, you know, lesser than offense, but a great defense on the other side. I mentioned earlier, I like Orlando. I'd lay the points with the Magic as well, and I believe in Banchero and Wagner to get this done against Young and the rest of the crew on the other side. How do you see this game playing out?
Well, yeah, obviously contrasting styles. They split 2-2. To me, Adam, it correlates, right? It's either Orlando in the under or Atlanta in the over, right?
Sure.
I like Orlando in the under. I think this will be a playoff, obviously playoff style basketball. You don't want to set yourself up with the eight, you know, with the, you know, with the winner of that 9-10 game and the loser of this game. So you'll get a tightly contested game. An Orlando team that really, you know, has overcome, Adam, a lot of injuries, right? You know, losing Banchero, losing Wagner, getting Wagner back, losing the other Wagner, Suggs out for the year with the ACL tear. To me, I just think I trust the team that's at home. I trust the team that's better defensively. That's Orlando. I also like the under 219. It's kind of stayed that way pretty much all day. I think the game goes under because I think it'll be a half-court game, and that's the way Orlando likes to play it. Player prop-wise, I'm going to go after the guy that Trae Young is guarding, and that possibly could be Anthony Black. Anthony Black over 8.5 points over the last two games. You know Trae ain't shooting. It don't matter what is going on. He ain't playing no goddamn defense. Okay, you figure Dyson Daniels will be on one of the other perimeter guy, whatever it's called, Will Pope, or would they even put him on Wagner because of his ability at, you know, about 6'4", but I think Wagner would post him up. I think Anthony Black gets guarded by Trae, and that's going to be a way that they can exploit him. Anthony Black over 8.5 points tonight.
What about the stars on the Orlando side? Excuse me. I'm a believer in both these guys. Honestly, more so on a personal level than Wagner. You know, even though that Banchero is the one who, you know, is a little more statistically dynamic and certainly will get the lion's share of the load. But these two guys, both, really. I mean, it's, you could look at them as a 1A, 1B in the sense that each one will put up 20-plus shots most nights. And, you know, it's like it's very clear that's where the offense is coming from. Wagner is a little bit more of a slow starter, kind of gets his points near the end or by the end, goes on a run typically in the third quarter and gets himself hot, whereas Banchero is usually a little stronger out of the gate. I would go, especially if you believe in Orlando. If you believe in Atlanta, maybe not. But if you believe in Orlando, as I do and as you do, I'd go over on the points for both these guys.
I mean, the problem is that his points prop for Banchero tonight, if I'm not mistaken, is wild. I mean, it's really high. I've seen 29.5 right now for Banchero. It's obviously moved up, but this is a Paolo Banchero who's gone over 9 of the last 14 games. And you look at the matchup so far this season, head to head, over 3 straight. So to me, that's someone that can definitely score. And with the fact of, you know, let's be honest, right? Jalen Johnson, you know, obviously out. You know, they traded DeAndre Hunter. Those are the two premier defensive guys. So now you're looking at someone like a Georges Niang trying to guard him. That's a problem. That's a major problem. Hmm. So to me, you know, you could look at that, or you could look at the other way and say, does Atlanta try to get the ball out of his hands? So to me, 5.5 assists, I do believe at plus money is very intriguing to me to see if they get him to pass the ball. But at the end of the day, 30-plus points, I'll probably take it. And if anything, if he gets off to a slow start, struggles earlier in the game, the shots are going to be there. Maybe I jump on him live as the game is going on as well.
Banchero has faced the Hawks 3 times this year. Just want to mention 33 points in the most recent one, 36 before that, and 31 in the game before that. So he has cleared this line 30-plus in each of those 3. Let's look in the Western Conference, because after Orlando and Atlanta play for the right to face the defending champion Celtics as the 7 seed, we have got the 7 seed that will face the Rockets, and that's going to be either Golden State or Memphis. Now, while I'm a believer in Orlando, nothing is going to surprise me in this next game. In fact, I think the Grizzlies at plus 260-ish on the money line are very live for the upset with their star power and the inconsistency in play of late that we have seen from the Warriors, whether in that game against the Clippers, that absolute meltdown against the Spurs on their own floor as almost 20-point favorites. You know, I don't know. Are you with me? Do you believe in the dog, or do you think this is where Steph Curry answers?
I think this is where Steph Curry answers. Got to remember, this team is 0-3 straight up in playing games. And we all remember several years ago when they lost 7-8 to the Lakers and then lost at home in the 8th spot to Memphis. So I think that's fresh in the minds of Steph Curry. I just think the Grizzlies are such a mess. You know, you fire Taylor Jenkins. Desmond Bane is pushing guys in the huddle. You know, Ja's working on celebrations that should not be celebrated at all. I look at the fact that this Golden State Warrior team has playoff Jimmy. And we've both seen what playoff Jimmy can do against both of our teams in the Knicks and the Celtics. And, you know, when he's motivated, which he is, because Jimmy done got his money. So I do like Golden State minus the points tonight. On the prop side, I'm going to look at Bad Buddy. Not Bad Bunny. Bad Buddy. Buddy Hield, 9.5 points plus rebounds over three of the last four games. This is a guy that's gone over every game versus Memphis this year. And you saw Steve Kerr do something in the game versus the Clippers. He went to a shortened rotation. And one of the guys that didn't get a lot of minutes, I think, was if I'm not mistaken, was Kuminga. So it may mean more opportunities for Bad Buddy. Buddy Hield over 9.5 points plus rebounds tonight.
Coach, let's look toward the play-in games tomorrow. Of course, these 9-10 matchups. First in the East, it is Miami at Chicago, and this one is essentially a pick'em. The Bulls won 1.5 point favorites. I'll tell you, of these four games, this is the one that I really don't have a lean. I don't have a clue who wins this game. You know, forced to pick, I would lean toward Miami, but I really don't know. What about you?
Same thing. I think this is the hardest game to pick by far, because this is the game that can go either way. But to me, I'm going to bet on the Heat culture and the fact that Chicago just hasn't been in the spot a lot. Now, Miami usually is the 7, then loses and wins as the 8. So this will be a little bit different for Miami. But I like the Heat. And in the second game, Nico Harrison and that rest of the team just needs to go into hibernation. And the suffering and the misery. Sacramento Kings, -4.5. I think they win by 8 to 10 points, if not more.
No, I'm with you. Even with Anthony Davis on the other side, I think this is a monster Sabonis game. Dominates the board, gets his points. I think Sacramento wins this one going away. I'm completely with you. And then, of course, the two winners from those games will have an opportunity to face two of the losers from tonight to get themselves into the postseason. Why did we need this anyway? What was so wrong with 1 through 8? We'll be back. More with Coach when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We've got Coach James Young hanging out with us, talking through the NBA. And, of course, the focus so far has been in the play-in tournament, which, of course, gets started tonight. And then, you know, it'll keep us occupied for the next few days here. But then come Saturday, Sunday, the beginning of round one of the actual playoffs, and we get into series. And our matchups that we know so far include the Pacers-Bucks. And, by the way, Damian Lillard, the report today, he could potentially, maybe, with this blood clot issue, come back during the postseason, but he is not going to be ready to start round one. And personally, there's no knowledge on my part. This is just feels like common sense. There's no chance we're going to see Dame in round one. I don't think we're going to see him again. I'm not so sure the Bucks make it out of round one. So that is a whole other thing. We also have the Knicks against the Pistons. On the other side of the bracket, we will have the Nuggets and Clippers, the Lakers and Timberwolves. Some really compelling series here, Coach. Here's where I want to start, though. I'm curious if we're in agreement. Which dog to you is most live to complete the upset and move on to round two?
Minnesota. I think Minnesota is so intriguing, AK, and I just think I am of the belief, and especially talking to Michelle yesterday, that I think Ant's got another gear. And if he figures that gear out, there's no one that could check him. I think the game, obviously, look at the over-under. It's going to go over the 5.5 games. I would take the series spread plus 1.5 because I think if the Lakers win, it's going to be in 7. Or I just think flat out plus 164. I think this is going to be the upset. I think that Rudy Gobert will be able to play in this series. I think there's going to be a problem with Alex Len, Rui Hachimura, you know, Jackson Hayes guarding him. And I just think... I look at that other side, and I don't know if it's Reeves or I don't know if it's Luka, but either way, Anthony Edwards is going to absolutely cook in this series. And one prop that I think people should be able to look at is the most total points in the series. I'm looking at Anthony Edwards at plus 185. I think Luka and LeBron will do their part, but Ant's got to be that guy. Like, I'm talking 30 a night guy, and I think he does it. Ant Edwards leads the lead series in scoring. Take him plus 1.5, sprinkle it to plus 164 to win the series outright.
Well, he's got no choice. He's built himself up to be that guy in terms of reputation. Mm-hmm. Now he needs to actually deliver. We did see, obviously, a nice playoff run out of Minnesota last year. Fell short, ultimately. The Dallas Mavericks get themselves to the NBA Finals. That team, by the way, is not going to sniff the NBA Finals for another long while. Honestly, Coach, the dog that I like the best, and I would say this to anyone, so I don't want you to feel persecuted or attacked, I like the Pistons to beat the Knicks. I do. These teams matched up in the regular season well. Ultimately, it was Detroit matching up a little bit better, 1-3 out of 4. I think the Knicks are, you know, there's still a matchup issue with Karl Anthony Towns, speaking of former Timberwolves, here with this team that statistically he has been excellent. No doubt about it. It's been a good year for him. But there's just something within that offense in terms of the unification that hasn't quite clicked. And I think defensively, he's had his issues as well. And I don't know how healthy Brunson is coming off of the injury that he only recently returned from.
You know, I think it's going to be a great series. I think that one of my best bets the series to go over 5.5 games. I think it's Knicks in 6. Now, to me, you know, yes, there are deficiencies, but if you line up the teams, you know, okay, maybe you say Cade over Brunson or even. You go 2, 3, 4, 5, I think you go New York. Then there's the bench. That's where I think Detroit can take them. But a key to the Knicks is they're finally whole, and they didn't have Mitchell Robinson for any of the games but the last one. And the last one, some of the Knicks starters did not play. So to me, I look at this Knicks team as being better than we thought defensively, and I think this is going to have to be Cat's moment. I think for a first time in the playoffs, I think for guys like Cade, for Durin, they're going to deal with MSG. And MSG is a different animal come playoff time, especially for a franchise that hasn't gone to the Eastern Conference Finals since 1999. It hasn't won championships since 73. They're starving for a championship. I think the Knicks take it in 6. I will say this. I talked about it with Michelle. If they don't win this series, I fully expect Tom Thibodeau to be fired. I know people think I'm nuts. I know I may be in a minority. I don't care. You don't go all in 2 years in a row getting OG for quickly and obviously RJ Barrett, then giving up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges, then obviously the trading DiVincenzo, obviously, and Randall for Cat. You can't shuffle the deck. And I don't care about this Kevin Durant junk nonsense people are talking about. That's Rich Kleiman, his mentor, his agent, or whatever he is, who is a Knicks fan. That's all that is. Simply put, if they lose, Tibbs is gone. And I'll say this right now. The guy that will be the next coach of New York Knicks is Michael Malone. New York ties, championship pedigree. Father Brendan Malone was a legendary assistant coach for a long time, including coaching with the Knicks. Obviously, Brendan Malone, the father, close with Isaiah Thomas. James Dolan still has an affinity a little bit for Isaiah, a little bit. So to me, Michael Malone would make sense for New York if they flame out in the first round. I think they get by, but if they don't, I think that's where you're looking at as Tibbs possibly being let go.
When it comes to matchups like the Nuggets and Clippers or the Pacers and Bucks, where, and maybe you do have a strong feeling in either of those, I'm not sure. We haven't talked about it. But for people out there that don't necessarily, like, I don't know, I could see either of these four teams winning kind of thing, is it smarter to ultimately just play them to be a long series, to go at least 6 games?
I think you play it as a long series. I have a stronger feeling for Indiana. I think Indiana's going to take out Milwaukee, and I think Giannis will be traded in the summer because I think he's going to ask out. Remember, he did say Eastern Conference Finals or bust. I don't think they're getting out of the first round. They certainly weren't going to get by Cleveland. And the other matchup, this is so intriguing because the Clippers are becoming such a live play for people because of the way they played down the stretch. James Harden, obviously Kawhi Leonard, has been outstanding. I still like the Nuggets to win the series, and I think it's a long series, but over 5.5 games is minus 168. I think it's going 7.
But who ultimately wins the championship? Who represents the East? Who represents the West? Who is cutting down the nets? Do they even do that in the NBA? Not really, but they should. We're going to explore that with Coach James Young. Look at the odds, see if there was anyone that is being overlooked. Like, oh, I don't know, the Houston Rockets, the second seed in the West that nobody believes in, certainly not Vegas. We'll come on back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Coach James Young here talking through the NBA. All right, so we've been diving in, Coach, to, of course, the play-in tournament, individual playoff series matchups that'll get going this weekend. But let's project ahead another month and a half, 2 months, to see who it is that's going to be celebrating with a parade through their respective cities. Obviously, the betting favorites in either conference, you have the Celtics, the defending champs, the Thunder, of course, in OKC. And I guess I just wonder, ultimately, is this a chalk situation where, you know, like it did so often throughout March Madness right behind us, the chalk actually plays itself out. It comes through, because if it does, if you believe in it, then you got to look toward maybe some of the more creative ways to bet it. For instance, I'm looking at FanDuel. If you want to invest in the Celtics to win the championship, that's plus 185. Same as the Thunder, co-favorites as it exists right now. In exacta, with those two teams going head-to-head, is plus 175. So you're actually getting worse odds for nailing both those teams. If you want to get into the exact outcome, however, like, for instance, the Celtics to beat the Thunder, that's plus 460. Or the Thunder to beat the Celtics, that's plus 420. That type of thing. That's your way of creating value. So really the question is here, Coach, do you believe in the chalk, or do you think that there is a fly in the ointment here?
I believe in the chalk. I do think it's going to be Boston, Oklahoma City. They've just been far better. Listen, Cleveland, there's teams that are being disrespected, right? You could say Cleveland's got the best record in the East. They're getting disrespected. Cleveland hasn't done it in the playoffs yet. Let's be honest. You know, I know Kenny Atkinson has done a great job with this team, but let's be honest. He didn't do it in the playoffs either with Brooklyn, right? And obviously after where he got all the guys, KD and Kyrie, they ran him out of town, which is probably the downfall of the Nets started when they got rid of Kenny Atkinson. So to me, I think it's chalk. Now, if you're asking me which team is more likely to not make it to the finals, to me, it's the Thunder. When you look at OKC, that second round matchup is going to be a problem either way. You look at, obviously, Denver and the fact that the best player in the world, Nikola Jokic, can put that team on his back. And with firing of Michael Malone, they should be a very motivated group and a motivated bunch. And then there's the Clippers. And the Clippers are so intriguing because we don't know we're going to get out of Kawhi. Like, Kawhi played all of last year, and then by game two of the playoffs, he was done. And we didn't see him, right? That's a team with those two that could give OKC problems as well. And the big storyline in that 4-5 matchup is the center position. Because I'm saying this right now, I know Cade's going to win most improved player, but damn it, how good has Ivaka Zubac been this year? I mean,
awesome.
19 and what, 13, 14 rebounds a game? He's been absolutely fantastic. So I think that is a danger zone there. I think the Timberwolves are going to take the Lakers. I think they're dangerous. And then there's the most disrespected team in the planet. You talked about it before the commercial break, and that's Houston. I mean, It's a shame that they had such a great year, but the problem is they haven't been there. So here's what I'll say. If Memphis beats Golden State, which they shouldn't, if Memphis beats them, I'm taking the Rockets. But if it's the other way around, all that experience, first time in the saddle for those young kids, I think that Golden State could take them out of seven.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, the reason the Rockets are 65-1, which is middle of the pack among playoff teams, despite finishing with the second seed in the West, is because there are no superstars on that team. In fact, the stars are even fringe stars. And ultimately, talent wins out in the NBA at this stage of the year, with very rare exception like that Pistons team that won, led by Chauncey Billups, you know, back in the early 2000s. So if we're looking toward talent and health, honestly, is paramount here at this stage of the year, let's go to that top spot, the defending champs, the Celtics. How concerned are you about Jaylen Brown's injury?
I'm concerned about that injury and the shot he got in the knee. But my more concerning thing is, Adam, they cannot live and die by the three-point line. They got to be able to punch the gap and get to the hole and be more offensively diverse. Because if you go into a cold streak at the wrong time, it can knock you out. Something tells me they'll play a little bit more straight-up basketball. And they got my favorite player. I just wanted to say before we get off the air, Prince better have my money. I hate the Celtics, but I want a shirt. Send me a shirt, AK.
And sixth man of the year, Peyton Pritchard, to you. Thanks, Coach.